coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the book of Acts of the Apostles. Before we start reading any book, it is convenient and useful to know something about the historical context, the author, the content, the characters, the main characteristics, the purpose and the recipients of the book. So let us spend a few moments exploring some general aspects of the book of Acts. As we read carefully the book of Acts, we come across a striking statement. The word of God continued to increase. This statement appears 3 times in the book of Acts, summing up a period of the history of the early church. The statement, "the word of God continued to increase," pictures the biblical conception of the word of God. Jesus Christ himself compared the word with a seed that is sown in sprouts and grows. He says that the seed is the word of God. Scripture underlines the fact that the word of the Lord is powerful and active, and, as the author of the Acts himself says, the word prevails mightily. Therefore, as we study the book of Acts, we approach it as the increasing and working divine word through which God carries out his work in the lives of people. You may have experienced in your life God's word at work. You may have heard the word of God being preached in church. You may have been taught the word of God in school. You may have read the Bible at home. And what happened? The Holy Spirit brought you to faith in Jesus Christ. Through the Word of God, you have been rescued from sin and evil and brought into fellowship with Jesus Christ. This Word of God certainly brought you comfort in times of trouble, guidance in times of confusion, hope in times of despair. The Word of God prevails mightily because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you have not experienced yet what God's Word can accomplish in a person's life, we would like to invite you to follow us in these Bible studies and find out for yourself. The book of Acts is unique in the history of religions. Why? Because in this book we find a sober and religious sense of history, the absolute conviction that God is the God of history, who clothes himself in a garment of mighty deeds in order to reveal himself to us. In the book of Acts we find the conviction of faith that God's word is a force. Or, to state it precisely, God's word is the force in history. This is one of the reasons why studying the book of Acts is so valuable. It provides us with the historical information that is indispensable for reconstructing the historical background of many New Testament books, especially the letters written by the Apostle Paul. Each book obviously has an author. The name of the author is usually clearly mentioned at the beginning or at the end of the book. Surprisingly, not so in the book of Acts. The author does not identify himself. Do we know who wrote the book of Acts? According to early tradition and a few hints found in the New Testament, it is believed that a man by name Luke composed the book of Acts. At the very beginning of the book of Acts, the author refers to a first book he wrote to a friend called Theophilus. This first book is the Gospel according to Luke, which is addressed to the same Theophilus. Therefore, it is reasonable to conclude that the book of Acts is the second volume written by the same author, Luke. Who was Luke? He was not one of the 12 apostles chosen by Christ. His name appears only 3 times in the New Testament. Luke was a companion of the apostle Paul. Paul calls him a fellow worker, that is, he worked together with Paul on the missionary journeys. The Apostle Paul also refers to Luke as the beloved physician, the only faithful companion who stayed with Paul while he was in prison. We note that Luke was closely connected to Paul. Some scholars think Luke might have been a Gentile, that is, a man of non-Jewish origin, but others argue he might have been a Jewish Christian who, through the powerful Word of God, came to faith in Jesus Christ. When was the book of Acts written? In the same way the name of the author is not spelled out, neither is the date of redaction. Considering the content of the book, we are led to conclude that it was composed after Paul reached Rome. Since Paul and Peter were later executed at Rome in the year 68 AD, and the book of Acts does not mention these sad events, the book was most likely written before their executions. Scholars believe the book could have been composed between the years 60 and 62 AD. The fifth book in the New Testament is commonly known as the Acts of the Apostles. This title is not mentioned in the book as such, but somehow it became popular. In the early days, the book was called the Acts, also the Gospel of the Holy Ghost, and the Gospel of the Resurrection. The name, the Acts of the Apostles, does not reflect accurately the content of the book because it contains no account of any of the apostles except Peter and Paul. John is noticed only a few times in the early chapters and then he disappears. James, the son of Zebedee, appears only as a martyr, with one short sentence devoted to his execution. On the other hand, men who are not apostles play a considerable role in the book, such as Stephen, Philip, Barnabas, Silas, and Agabus. Therefore, the title, The Acts of the Apostles, is not entirely accurate, a title which was given to the book at a later date. Men were instruments in the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Not human acts, but acts performed by the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what the book of Acts is all about. The book may rightly be called the Acts of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. What is the main purpose of the book of Acts? The main purpose of the book of Acts is to link the gospel of Jesus and the service of the 12 apostles with the missionary work of the apostle Paul. In Acts, Luke continues the story of Jesus' work through the apostles and other disciples. Acts records the progress of God's mission to reach the ends of the earth with the promise of forgiveness and everlasting life in Christ, a mission that continues today as the Lord works through His church. The writer Luke does not intend to exalt and glorify the work of men, but to highlight and point out what the Lord Jesus Christ, after His ascension into heaven, continued and continues to do through the preaching and teaching of His powerful Word. The Book of Acts contains some interesting features. One of them is concerning Christianity and empire. Luke seems to make a great effort to demonstrate that Christianity is no threat to the Roman Empire and that Christians are loyal citizens. He is not shy in recording the fact that the gospel brought controversy, whether among Jews in Jerusalem or Gentiles in Ephesus. Yet Luke wants the reader to understand that, when carefully examined by Roman officials, Christians are innocent of any charges of rebellion. Christians spread their doctrine throughout the known world and even to the capital, Rome, without resorting to violence, even though they were often persecuted. Another interesting feature found in the Book of Acts concerns Peter, Paul, and church unity. Luke's account demonstrates the unity of apostolic mission and ministry through two important leaders of the early church, Peter and Paul. Although James, the brother of Jesus, appears importantly as leader of the church at Jerusalem, Luke focuses on the two apostles responsible for the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles and the fact that this was the express will of Jesus, the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. The first 12 chapters of the Book of Acts embrace the work of the Apostle Peter. The remaining chapters embrace the work of the Apostle Paul. That covers a period of about 25 years of history of the early church. A third interesting feature in the Book of Acts concerns the resurrection. Luke places a special emphasis on reporting the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the true God, the Lord over death and all evil. The risen Lord is at work in people's lives to raise them from sin to salvation and to raise them from the grave to eternal life. By writing his gospel and Acts, Luke wrote about 25% of the New Testament, more text than any other New Testament writer. In these two books, Luke provides an account of God's work from the announcement of Jesus' birth to the announcement of salvation in Jesus in the city of Rome. Luke shows that through poor and helpless people on the margin of society, God spread his word. The Book of Acts records how God works through his word, whether spoken or written, to bring people to faith in Christ. We pray that you and your loved ones are among those who are touched and blessed by God's powerful word.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
Now let us turn to the text of the Book of Acts itself. We read in chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The author had written the first book to Theophilus, and now he is writing the second one. We said earlier that Luke probably is the author. The first book Luke wrote was the Gospel. Now he is writing the second book, Acts. So the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts form a two-part account, with Acts depicting the growth of the apostolic church as a consequence of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Sometimes the book of Acts is treated simply as a historical narrative of the early church or a history book. Although it contains history, the book of Acts is the direct continuation of Luke's gospel, with exalted Christ as its solely dominant figure. Luke addresses the book of Acts to Theophilus. Who was this man? The name Theophilus means friend of God. Theophilus possibly was a patron or sponsor who helped Luke produce and publish his gospel. He might have been a Roman official, or at least of high position and wealth, for in the gospel Luke addresses him as Most Excellent Theophilus. Luke summarizes what he had recorded in the gospel. There he covered the time from Jesus' birth till his ascension into heaven. Now in Acts, Luke picks up Jesus' ascension and continues into the development of the early church. Before concentrating on Jesus' ascension, however, Luke refers to the instructions given by Jesus to his apostles and emphasizes Jesus' resurrection when he appeared many times to the apostles and disciples. During 40 days, Jesus presented himself alive, giving proofs of his resurrection and speaking about the kingdom of God. The compelling evidence of the resurrection moved the apostles to believe this astonishing truth. Christianity rests on a solid and unmovable foundation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On one occasion during the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension, Jesus gave the command to his apostles to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. There, in Jerusalem, the Heavenly Father would fulfill his promise to pour out his Holy Spirit. Just as John the Baptist poured water onto people's bodies, the Holy Spirit would be poured out lavishly on the apostles and all Christians. This promise was fulfilled on Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection and 10 days after his ascension. The Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father to his children. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 57 times in the book of Acts. With the exalted Christ, he exercises ongoing lordship over the church. Following the words of introduction, Luke narrates the ascension of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." When When the apostles came together at Mount Olives, they asked Jesus an intriguing question. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The apostles had experienced God's mighty works, and they expected him to sweep away instantly the old order of things. Like their fellow countrymen, they were looking for the deliverance of the people of Israel from foreign dominion and for the establishment of an earthly kingdom. The reference to the coming of the Spirit caused them to wonder if the new age was about to dawn. Today, similar questions are being asked. People wonder and sometimes doubt whether Jesus will return one day to put an end to all evil, to restore his creation to peace, to raise the dead, and to inaugurate his eternal reign. We don't need to doubt. The Lord Jesus will fulfill his promise, and that day is drawing near. What is Jesus' answer to the question asked by the apostles concerning the time he will restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus answers that only the Father knows when his Son will return in glory. God the Father has certainly that day on his calendar, but for our benefit, he does not reveal it. Speculation is out of place. Confident hope and readiness are recommended instead. Having given answer to the apostles' question, Jesus shifts the focus on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the task of the apostles to be witnesses of the Lord. In order to be witnesses, Jesus promises the apostles the gift of the Holy Spirit. He would provide the superhuman strength to enable the apostles to be the Lord's witnesses. The apostles' task is to be witnesses of Jesus to what they have seen, heard, and touched. Today, we Christians are witnesses of Jesus. According to Martin Luther, bearing witness is nothing but God's word spoken by angels or men, and it calls for faith. The apostles were told to start in Jerusalem, then advance to Judea and Samaria, and eventually to reach the ends of the earth, including Caesarea, Antioch, Asia Minor, Greece, and Rome. A huge task only possible because of the power given by the Holy Spirit. The apostles worked hard in their time under adverse circumstances, and the Lord blessed their efforts. The word of God spread by the apostles continued to increase wherever it was proclaimed. Today, the Christian Church, including each and every believer, are called to be Jesus' witnesses through the preaching and teaching of the gospel in churches, schools, and homes, through the modern means of communication, including radio, internet, social media, and through the personal life of each believer. Once the Lord had instructed his apostles concerning their work, he departed to heaven where he came from. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of the sight of the apostles. Was that a sad goodbye to the apostles? Was Jesus abandoning his friends? No. Jesus had completed his work on earth. The ascension into heaven happens to be an occasion of celebration of Jesus' victory, the completion of his job on earth. Now it is time to return to the Father. Now Jesus takes his throne at the Father's right hand and reigns forever and ever. Amazed and disorientated, the apostles stood there looking up into the sky. God sent two men dressed in white robes, no doubt angels, to announce a marvelous promise. Through the angels, God promised Jesus will come back one day in the same way he ascended into heaven. Jesus will return indeed. We are looking forward in faith and hope to that day when he will come to judge the living and the dead, the day when all the graves will be opened and all the dead will be raised, the day when Jesus will pronounce the sentence of condemnation to those who rejected and disbelieved him, the day when Jesus will take with him to heaven all those who believed in him as their Savior. May this faith and hope be yours. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Join us again next week to reflect on God's mighty word. God bless you and keep you.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.